with What's News from the Wall Street Journal. I'm Anne-Marie Fertoli in New York. Climate change and technology are on the minds of big oil executives gathered in Houston this week for the industry's premier conference. Wall Street Journal reporter Bradley Olson joins us with the details in just a moment. But first, here are some other top stories we're following. There's another vote in the British Parliament on Tuesday on Prime Minister Theresa May's Brexit plan. Lawmakers rejected May's plan in January. Wall Street Journal reporter Jason Douglas says she's been working to rally support ahead of Tuesday's vote.
The UK is scheduled to leave the European Union at the end of this month on March 29th, whether it has a deal or not. There's pretty widespread opposition in Parliament to leaving without a deal because of the economic harm it would probably cause. And so it seems very likely now that Brexit will be delayed. The big question is how long that delay will be.
Many in London's finance industry have already shifted assets and moved offices amid upheaval over the UK's planned exit from the European Union. The Wall Street Journal reports that hundreds of billions of dollars have been moved. Major firms have also shifted operations to secondary financial centers in Europe, including Frankfurt, Paris, and Dublin. For complete Brexit coverage, including the results of Tuesday's vote, head to WSJ.com. Google agreed to pay $135 million in exit packages to two top executives, Andy Rubin and Amit Singhal, who left the company after being accused of sexual harassment. The public disclosure of the payments came in a civil shareholder lawsuit filed in California Superior Court that alleges Google tried to cover up persistent sexual harassment and discrimination. The disclosure follows a global walkout staged by Google employees in November in protest of a workplace culture they said was unsafe for women. Google said in a statement that it's made changes to its workplace and is taking a, quote, increasingly hard line on inappropriate conduct by people in positions of authority. Almost 80 investment firms, including divisions of Wells Fargo and Deutsche Bank, have reached an agreement with the Securities and Exchange Commission to pay back $125 million to clients who were steered into higher-cost mutual funds without adequate disclosure. The SEC says some investors were sold versions of mutual funds that charged fees, even if they qualified for other versions without fees. Still to come, climate change and technology are in the spotlight at an oil industry conference in Houston. Top oil executives are gathered in Houston for the annual CERAWeek conference, a premier event for the industry. Dominating talks this year are climate change and technology. And joining us now via Skype from the conference in Houston is Wall Street Journal reporter Bradley Olson. Bradley, why are these issues more in the forefront of the minds of big oil executives this year?
I think what they're hearing from investors has really changed, even just in the past year. You know, this conference, I've attended it now. This is my ninth time to be here. And every year you kind of get used to hearing oil and gas executives defending the future of fossil fuels. It's something that you hear every year and you can get sort of used to it. But I think one of the things that's a little bit surprising this year is how much executives are talking about responding to climate change and meeting what many of them call a dual challenge of providing, you know, growing energy for the world, but also doing so with lower emissions. And so I think a lot of investors are concerned about this. I think the public is concerned about the future. It seems like climate is really becoming more of a mainstream topic and not just something that kind of a small group of activists, you know, at least that's from the company perspective. Some of the oil companies, I think in the past, have seen it as something that a small group of activists have, you know, been concerned about. And I think they're seeing now that it's really a completely mainstream issue. That's something that's really apparent at this conference.
And at the same time, Bradley, you and I talked just last week about some big oil companies planning to ramp up production in the United States, particularly in the Permian Basin. So would you say it's a little bit of a mixed message at this point, or are companies trying to find the balance here?
I think companies are trying to find the balance. I mean, a lot of them are saying, you know, in one speech I think we're familiar with, a company's kind of trying to say, hey, we have to do what's best for shareholders, but we also know that society is demanding that we reduce emissions and kind of be a part of the solution on this issue. And so I think they are trying to strike a balance, trying to have things that they feel like investors will be excited about in the traditional oil and gas world, but then also trying to say, hey, we're going to be a part of an energy transition as the world transitions to kind of cleaner forms of energy. We want to be in that conversation.
And there have been recent efforts by oil companies abroad to take steps in this direction.
Yes, a lot of oil and gas companies in Europe, I think, are, at least in terms of messaging, are being quite aggressive as they say how much money they're going to spend. I think Shell in particular is spending, you know, more than $2 billion a year on renewable forms of energy, or kind of energy that could be linked to the energy transition, battery, utility investments, linking up with customers, that sort of thing. Shell's definitely been doing that lately. Total has also bought a battery company, and they're becoming heavily involved in solar. I believe BP has more than 5,000 employees that are dedicated to solar and wind businesses. And so it is something that European companies are investing a lot in. U.S. oil and gas companies, I think, have maybe more limited investments in specific renewable technology, but they are speaking a lot about investing in, you know, kind of next generation possibilities. But I do think the investment levels are smaller, you know, compared to what the Europeans are doing.
But it seems that is starting to gain traction in the United States. Can you tell us a little bit more about how pressure has been different overseas as compared to in the United States?
I think that a lot of European investors, this is certainly maybe the number one issue or among the most significant issues. And so it is true that some investors are saying, hey, there's risk that is related to climate. And if you're not kind of part of the transition, then we're not sure that, you know, whether your investment is too risky. One example I could give you, in the last week, the Norway Sovereign Wealth Fund, this is a $1 trillion investment fund, has huge investments in oil and gas. They said, hey, these U.S. upstream companies, predominantly the companies that are investing in shale, they are just overall too linked to the oil price. There's just too much risk there in our portfolio. And then they also said, on the other hand, we're not completely divesting. So they're still invested in major oil companies, but they're saying that they want to emphasize that in the future, they're only going to invest in those that are making significant bets on renewable energy and new technology. So that's one example. And I think they're seeing a lot of pressure in that regard from a lot of European investors, but also really from U.S. investors too. I think U.S. investors want to say, hey, what's your strategy? And the thing for a lot of these investors that we speak with that's really important is the future of oil demand growth secure, right? So even if you're maybe not hugely worried about the fate of a really large, well-capitalized company when it comes to climate change, you might actually be worried about, you know, legitimately worried about the future of oil demand growth. How long will it be that way? How fast will it continue to grow? And what are the threats to that? And so I think those are the sets of questions that they're kind of dealing with and trying to make sure that they really, people know that they care about and intend to be very responsive towards.
That's Wall Street Journal reporter Bradley Olson joining us via Skype from Houston. Thank you so much, Bradley.
Thanks so much for having me.
And that's What's News. I'm Anne-Marie Fertoli in New York for The Wall Street Journal.